Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we sing the praises of Matt LaFleur and give him his LaFleurs and eventually turn our attention to the showdown with the Vikings. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Malik Willis.
We got the bad. We got
Preston Smith.
We got the ugly. We got
all those damn penalties. Oh, my goodness, Banky. Too many penalties, I'm telling you.
A lot of penalties.
Ugly stuff. Ugly stuff. But overall, strong work from the Fighting LaFleurs. We do have to give him his praises. My goodness. Corey, if you had told me, sitting like, say, midsummer, heading into this season, oh, by the way, Jordan Love's going to get hurt in the very first game, and you're going to have to win with a guy who's not even on the roster until a couple weeks before, I'm thinking, okay, we're losing those games. We're probably not winning, especially how poor the Packers have looked throughout recent history whenever they've had to go away from one of their starting franchise quarterbacks. But man, Matt LaFleur and his staff, shout out. I mean, just excellent work all around. You cannot argue with the results we've seen these last 2 weeks.
Pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think if you go back to Packer transplants, I was feeling good about this offense.
You were.
I think if you go back, I mean, what's ridiculous to me right now is the amount of Vikings fans trying to fucking troll me. I'm so, like, Vikings fans. Oh my God, you're 3-0. Act like you've been there. Don't act like the Brewers,
but act like you've actually been there before.
Yeah, okay, you know what I'm saying? You don't got to pop champagne because you won the division because there's a lot of ball game left. So. Yeah, Vikings fans, go F yourself. I don't care about you, but you're really funny. You're really funny, and you're cute, and you're going to lose. And you're going to lose this weekend at Lambeau Field. You're going to have your first loss. I literally had somebody in Twitter be like, oh, we got two Super Bowl, biggest differential of two Super Bowl teams, and we're 3-0, but yeah, okay, we're going to lose at Lambeau. I'm like, yeah, have you ever?
I love that.
Oh my God. I can't.
Because they're
talking
about, like, teams that were – you know, projected to be good this year in the Texans and 49ers. 49ers have lost two in a row. Texans haven't looked like world beaters. I don't care what they were projected to do in the preseason. None of that means anything. But, of course, that's what a Vikings fan would hold on to, right?
Well, these teams were projected to be good, and we beat them, so we must be really good.
That's a Vikings fan's mind at work. That's how they roll. But, you know, like you said, we'll just wait till Sunday and let the business do the talking. And, hey, speaking of business, let's give a shout out to our newest partner here at Cheesehead TV. I want to give a shout out to Prize Picks. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. If you want to join in the fun, you can sign up at the link in the description of this video. I'll be making my first picks on Friday heading into the weekend on Packers Daily. Prize Picks, welcome aboard. Going to be fun to have Corey Banky basically make fun of all my picks all year long as I get everything wrong, which I'm sure I will because I always do in this arena. But I really hope Packers fans out there can join in the fun. Download the app. Use CHTV as your code. And get going. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing it all year long. Corey, you're really looking forward to it.
I'm never any good at those because, just like fantasy football, because I can't separate fantasy from reality. So, if the Packers are doing well, I'm really good at those. If the Packers are not doing so well, not so good.
Why do you think my fantasy team is 3-0 currently? Because it's filled with Green Bay Packers. This is true. 100% correct. So, hope everybody jumps on board. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, yes, it is available in Wisconsin. We have partnered with groups before that were not available in Wisconsin. This is not the case. Prize Picks available in Wisconsin. So get on it, people. Going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, going to be doing it all season long. Good times ahead. But, you know, speaking of good times, Corey, you know what time it is. You know how we got to kick things off. Let's get to the hotness. The hotness. Man, there was a lot to choose from. A lot to choose from this week. Lots. Wanted to go with Emmanuel Wilson's first NFL touchdown. Wanted to go with one of eight different sacks of the quarterback. Could have gone any number of ways, but I think you got to go with Jair's pick six. The way this one single play completely turned this game on its head, and obviously in the Packers' favor. Let's take a look at Jair Alexander here with his eyes on the quarterback the entire way, the break on the ball. Now, my only quibble here is maybe a little more high-stepping. I mean, you could really let those legs stretch there, buddy. But all in all, just a phenomenal play from your number one corner trying to hit their number one guy on the outside. Jair Alexander says, nah, we're going to take a two-score lead. And the Packers never looked back. I mean, that literally set up the rest of the game for the Packers defense to be able to, you know, pretty much pin their ears back and get after a quarterback who was very overwhelmed all afternoon, especially in the second half. That all got set up by that play by Jair Alexander. That is some hotness.
You really love know you've turned the table as a defense when you no longer allow poor quarterbacks to beat you. So kudos
yes,
to
sir.
The Packers defense in that game and Jair. We needed it.
Absolutely.
We needed a defense game. Now, that was against a really shitty team, so I'm ready to see that again against the Vikings. I'm ready to see the Vikings. Like, I feel like Halfley's got – I know we're going to talk about defense, but I feel like Halfley's got something. I feel like he knows he put pressures on tape, right? And so I feel like he's going to self-scout his way into, you know, playing a little chess with the Vikings. At least that's my hope anyway.
I'm excited about it. Definitely excited about it. Let's look at some Packers news. Got to eat our vegetables right up front, Corey. Tucker Kraft is dealing with a shoulder injury. We won't have any injury news today because we are a day early. Usually, obviously, transplants is on Wednesday when we get the first kind of blush of injury reports. Won't have any of that today, but Tucker Kraft is dealing with a shoulder injury. Matt LaFleur did indicate at his Monday press conference that he will most likely be wearing the red non-contact jersey again in practice, something we saw him do last week. So, I mean, the way he's playing and the way his violence is contributing on the offensive side of the ball, whatever you need to do to get him out there, because boy, howdy, he is playing his ass off in a Green Bay Packers uniform. Speaking of practices and guys coming off injury, Jordan Love will most likely be limited in practice. Again, we won't know for sure until tomorrow, but that was what LaFleur indicated on Monday. Going to be fun to watch the cat and mouse game all week, Corey, as far as is Jordan Love going to play? Trying to keep him guessing. We've already got Kevin O'Connell saying they're going to be preparing for both quarterbacks. So I do think LaFleur is going to play this as close to the vest as possible, and we'll quote-unquote not know if Jordan Love is going right up until game day, but I suspect Jordan Love goes this week. Well, we'll see. It's early in the week.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. He's got a lot, and the nice thing is coach has the option to not and not worry about it. I mean, really.
Yeah,
like,
very, very much
because
so.
The reality is, you know, there's a lot of options for coach to pick from right here based on how Jordan's doing this week, so that's what's great about it.
Big note for Corey Behnke, who does like to track all the practice squad roster moves. The Packers have released tight end Johnny Lumpkin from the practice squad.
Never
heard Johnny Lumpkin era has come to an end. He's been on the squad for about 3 weeks. Yeah. You know, I know you're a big fan. Big fan.
Yeah, huge.
Finally, I guess this isn't really news, but it is somewhat just because of all of the penalties going on around the league, especially on the offensive side of the ball, mostly pre-snap, some of the illegal formation stuff, but man, the Packers, you never want to be leading the league here. The Packers have an NFL-high 8 offensive holding penalties. Now, you talk about something you got to get under control, got to practice technique, get this kind of out of your system, what have you. Now, it is early in the season. I talked with Billy Schmidt about this on Carry the G Radio today. You do got to think. The more they play, they never play in the preseason, right? They're doing very light contact in training camp. And now we're a couple games into this. Hopefully they get this out of their system, especially Rashid Walker, who I know has been a primary culprit here. But now you've got some time on task. You've got a handful of games under your belt. Look at the tape, make the adjustment. Hopefully stop holding people, because it keeps eliminating usually some pretty significant plays on offense. And they've been able to overcome it the last 2 weeks. But, man, you can't live like that in the NFL. You can't constantly put yourself in second and 20, especially after what you thought was going to be a big game. Hopefully get that out of their system. Get it all done.
I mean, they did get a third and 14 or a third and 17? That was pretty amazing.
They got both, a third and 18 and a third and 14. Overcame both of those.
That's pretty good.
I mean, with a backup quarterback slinging the rock.
That's
not too bad.
I mean, I literally remember that moment when we were like, oh, this set us back, and then we got a first down. I was like, what is this team?
That's so rare. What is happening?
It's not rare, but it's not rare, but it's like, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's at least last year it felt like 50-50.
Yeah, that's very fair. Let's talk about the offense, shall we? Speaking of getting back on track and the offense doing it. Malik Willis, obviously been the story in Green Bay for the last 2 weeks, given his performance, how outstanding he has been. But this, and I know you saw this, Wes Hockowitz put this out there. This is an incredible stat. Malik Willis is the fifth quarterback in Green Bay Packer history to have a 120-plus passer rating in consecutive starts. Back-to-back, over 120 QB rating. The other Packer quarterbacks to have done it are Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Jordan Love, and Lynn Dickey. That is some pretty damn good company that Malik Willis finds himself in. And again, we know we've sung Matt LaFleur's praises, as obviously we should, but man, shout out to Malik Willis. He's the one doing the work. He's the one executing the plays that are called and making it happen on the field, being careful with the football, leading them on drives to points, etc. Man, just great stuff. You love to see it.
Here's the thing, does the national media never learn from anything? Like, the Packers have literally had a quarterback strategy that, in Wall Street terms, is an outlier. Right. And the national media, every time we turn around, they go, I can't believe the Packers have done it again. Like, you look at Big Cat I can't remember the name of their show. Anyway, they were just talking about it today where they were like, pardon my take, where they're talking about how, Levis wasn't that bad and how is Malik Willis this good? And I'm like, it's the Green Bay Packers. You've literally seen this happen every time. Why are you
surprised?
Confused?
Right.
And even Rich Eisen, finally people are, I don't know. It's just funny. It's like in Wall Street, when you make a lot of money like that as an outlier, people try to copy you. But it's so funny how so few owners have the patience or the wherewithal or the investment.
Well,
cojones,
that's the key word.
What the Packers have done.
It's patience.
It's crazy.
And there is none. There is no reservoir of patience when it comes to being an NFL owner. None. And the Packers' unique structure obviously aids them in that regard. Now you need someone like Mark Murphy at the helm, who is empowering a guy like Brian Gutekunst and company to go about their business and give them the support that they need. But it is about patience. And yeah, I mean, look no further than David Tepper in Carolina. His handpicked dude, the guy he overrode his own football people about, I want this kid. He lasted all of one season and then two more games and then got benched. I mean, there's no patience out there at all. But I don't think anybody should find that surprising.
Well, it's patience, but it's also how did they misjudge Malik Willis that badly? Hey, if we give this kid an offensive line and some weapons and some structure and whatever that the Packers are doing, right? Clearly, I mean, the thing about Malik Willis right now that's kind of interesting is that we have a control, and Malik Willis is the new variable that's been put into the system, right? He was here for 3 weeks before he started, right? So 21 days or so to install yourself into an offense that already existed, what is the special sauce? Cause that's clearly not patience. That's more, you know, Brian seeing, hey, this kid wasn't given this, this, and this. And I see enough things in
support,
him that he's going to raise our ceiling. He's going to raise our floor no matter what, because I've got a shitty floor and the sub basement's all fucked up and I got to like take out all my stuff. And I got two terrible fucking quarterbacks. I mean, I said it on transplants, but it's like, holy shit. Like, seriously, if we had to start Sean Clifford the last two games,
oh my God. Can you imagine? You said it in the middle of a watch party. We could be watching Sean Clifford right now. Like, that's where we were 3 weeks ago. That's insanity. Think about it. That is nuts. But to your point, yeah. I mean, that's why I think LaFleur deserves every bit of praise he's been getting. Because he did take a guy who'd been in this building for, you know, 3 weeks and built an offense, like, designed a game plan. I had someone in my replies today talking about, because Brent put out a new great new shirt. Quarterback professor with LaFleur's kind of visage on it. And someone responded, Tom Clements. And I'm like, well, Tom obviously is doing yeoman's work. Everybody in the building is when it comes to helping Malik, supporting him, and getting him in position to make these plays. But Tom Clements isn't designing the game plan, isn't implementing the run scheme, isn't doing all the things that have helped put Malik in a position to succeed. There have been all sorts of people doing that. And at the head of that is Matt LaFleur. And that's why you talk about, you did mention it a couple weeks ago, like, okay, we've got a Ferrari, and we're handing this kid the keys. You're a bit nervous, obviously, because he doesn't have a great track record, probably has some points off his license, given how poorly he's driven in the past with some junk cars. But, hey, seems to have handled the Ferrari pretty damn well. And I think, again, a big part of that is his support system around him, and that starts with Matt LaFleur.
Well, and that support system was built on us having that shitty middle part of the season last year where everybody came together and everybody gelled together because everyone seemingly was against them, and then they had their upward swing. And that's where you get the Ferrari part, because it's like this team has done some serious like team building exercises last year together. Seeing how they can how the more they put in, the more they get out. And it's just, you know, I think it goes to the fact that, you know, the Packers have more explosive plays. They lead the league in explosive plays. And I think, you know, that's a testament to this team building that went on last year and the gelling that happened with Jordan and the offense.
Well, what's interesting, too, you talk about a support system and helping your quarterback and doing things to put the defense in, put the stress on the defense or give them things to worry about. Packers are using motion at a league high 85.9%. I mean, that's an absurd amount of motion, obviously, and we all know former quarterback wouldn't have been down with that. These quarterbacks are, and it's certainly paying off as far as false steps, eyes in the wrong spots. It's helping open things up for Malik, you know? I mean, to the point where Matt now uses more motion than Mike McDaniel down in Miami. I didn't think that would ever occur. But these last 2 weeks in particular, 85.9 is like just over the amount that Miami's using. Well, it is 85.9% of the snaps.
You know what that means? You know how Matt looks at that? He's like, oh, 14% plays I'm not using.
We got 14 to play with. Hey, more motion to come, probably. But to your point, the Packers offense does lead the league in explosive plays. And that is defined by yards, runs of over 10 yards, pass plays over 20. Not only do the Packers lead the league in explosive plays, the best part is that while the Packers lead the league with two games helmed by their backup quarterback that they traded for 3 weeks ago, at number 32, which, Corey, just if you're not aware, there are 32 teams in the league totality. Number 32 is the Chicago Bears.
Whoa.
Where I was told somewhat reliably throughout the offseason that their quarterback that they were drafting first overall was stepping into, quote, the best scenario ever for a first overall pick. That's what I was told repeatedly. So I don't know. Maybe they're playing possum. They're like, aha, but we will put him behind the shittiest offensive line. possible and not run the ball.
Chicago, there's something wrong with Chicago, seriously. I mean, seriously, not just the Bears either. Like, I just saw this article in the New York Times about the White Sox and then, you know, the Cubs. It's like, they are just, it's just a dysfunctional town. It's like, it doesn't know what it wants to be. It's just like, and it's just like, it's so sad. Like, if I wasn't so proud of the Green Bay Packers, I would feel sorry for the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel bad for their fans, but I certainly feel sorry for the Bears in the sense that there's a stewardship there that has a lineage family-wise, and it is part of a great tradition. But, man, they until they change that, I don't think anything's going to change.
And like, it's almost like, should the NFL bring back the Chicago Cardinals so that we can put the Bears to bed for good?
Have the Bidwells move the Cardinals back up to Chicago and then, like, just, what, axe the Bears as a franchise?
I mean, like, Chicago deserves a franchise, but does Chicago really deserve the Bears? Like, it's a better city than that, you know?
Yeah, it is.
That it's just really sad. Like, it's just really sad, the narrative, right, that exists in this alternative reality that we live in, where, you know, if you like, the flip side, the Corey Bankue lives in Chicago, who whatever my last name would be there, has watched the Bears completely secede or cede the winning stats from the Green Bay Packers. It's just got to be so demoralizing.
How can it not be? I mean, only during football season, though, because then the offseason comes, and it is the longest offseason in professional sports, and Chicago fans reconvince themselves every offseason.
That's what's crazy. It's like they re-synapse.
That suddenly things are going to be good, even though it's the same ownership, making the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Nothing changed.
Nope, this year it's going to be right. This is going to be good. Like, I don't get it, man. It's unbelievable.
I mean, like, it's kind of like Vikings fans do the same thing.
Collective amnesia in that fan base is insane to me.
Vikings fans do the same thing, but I do think Bears fans do this whether they're 0-3 or 3-0 for the season. Vikings fans, as soon as Vikings fans have any little morsel or crumb.
Oh, yes. 100% everything you're about to say.
Oh, my God. They are not afraid to just throw it all out there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
ultimate front runners.
It's crazy. The Vikings go 3-0, and they are the next coming of Jesus. And you're just like, really? It's early in the season. Like, stop acting like Bears fans. Like, what are you doing?
Like, Have you not learned anything? Did they watch the Philadelphia Eagles last year? Who won what? Their first 10 games. And then looked like garbage the last month of the season and bowed out in disgrace in the first playoff game they played. I mean, if that's what you're shooting for, Vikings fans, I understand it. Because that's kind of who you are.
Well, and that,
but man,
yeah. Well, it's here's the appropriate parallel, right? Packers fans know. Okay, we know in our heart for the last 30 years, like, we're just not going to be good at defense. Like, since Reggie White left, maybe one time in 2010 when Charles Woodson and everything.
Every
once in a while, at the right time, and always at the right time of the year.
Yep.
We're going to have a good defense.
Go win a championship. Yep.
But, like, we are realists, right? We're like, oh, yeah, this year, right? The offense is going to be great. We got Jordan Love. We're awesome. And who knows about the defense and who knows about the defensive coordinator? I don't think even – what's crazy is even after that performance that the defense put on last week, which 8 sacks, which I know we're going to get to the defense next, 8 sacks, the interceptions, just – you watch those 8 sacks, and it is together. They are a freaking masterpiece of NFL defense. If you just watch those 8 completely out of context, which I love to do, but we don't have that same thing. The Vikings are like, oh, you know what? Historically, we've been really good for the beginning part and then the middle, and then we think we're going to go to the playoffs, and then we completely fucking implode. And instead of actually, like, saying, hey, that's going to happen again, they're 3-0, and they're like, it's over. We got this. We got this.
We're
even though they've
Super
never
Bowl.
Done that.
Yep.
That's what's crazy to me. I just don't see Packers fans doing the same thing. It's just not
the idea of who you are in September very rarely correlates with who you are in December. And I would much rather be playing the best ball, balling out in December, because I've seen it occur way too many times. Across the league, I'm not even talking about the Packers. That's just life in the NFL. But of course, like I said, Vikings fans, ultimate front runners, they know nothing about that. You know, once the Vikings face a little bit of adversity, they're like, oh, forget it. I'm going to go watch the Twins or whatever, or watch the Timberwolves, and they're done. You know, they don't want to invest like that. They don't run in these streets. They don't know what that's about.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, Vikings fans, like I get annoyed with Packers fans. They don't stay to the end, right? We're stay to the enders, right? It's like, yes, even in 100%. Shitty seasons, right? Like you
every
know,
single time,
we're stay to the enders. Now, that's not everybody, but it's most Packers fans, right? Like most a large fans. Majority, a super
I'm
majority of
the
Packers
end,
fans.
No matter
yes.
what.
Yeah, there's like every a small percentage of Vikings fans,
leave, but most
get
fans
out of
stay.
Here, bro. Vikings fans, Seattle Seahawks fans, Bears fans. I would say Bears fans probably stay a little longer than most because they
Bears
got the old school mentality.
Most akin, yes. I would say most akin to Packers fans in that regard. They stay.
But mostly they stay because they're like, they're masochists. You know what I mean? Bears fans. You know, it's like, I know
true.
This pain is comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of vibe.
It's like a
which blanket.
It's a warm blanket that you're used to. Yeah,
it's a warm 100%. Blanket of pain and numbness.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It's true.
Definitely. Speaking of a warm blanket of pain and numbness, that's what the Packers put on Will Levis throughout most of this game, especially in the second half. A Packers defense that actually dictates, Corey. Been talking about this for years. Been waiting to see it. A defense that doesn't wait on the offense to dictate terms. A defense that actually smells blood in the water, sees a young quarterback struggling, and says, okay, we're getting after him. We're making his life hell. Rather than, oh, we're just going to sit back in our too high shell and rally and tackle everything in front of us. Like, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Finally, a defense that dictates. I'm down with this.
I mean, here's the thing. The realist in me, and I said this before, like I feel like Halfley's better than this, but I am a little worried. I think the one thing I'm worried about is we get blitz happy and get burned. But
a Packers fan worried? What the hell you say?
I feel like I'm a little concerned about getting a little too blitz happy. So that's where I'm at right now. But
see,
you know what?
My,
it's because I don't have experience with this kind of blitzing. And so, you know, right. Fritz Schirmer used to blitz this way. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, like, and it's so funny is you've been burned before when you watched Bob Slowick come in there and blitz the hell out of everybody in week one, and everyone was like so excited about it. And then literally the rest of the year after those blitzes were on tape, they just got destroyed and eaten up. And I feel you, man. I feel you. I would counter with, and this is my trying to allay your fears, you'll notice a lot of those heavy pressure looks, a lot of the exotics, so to speak, they didn't come until the second half when they were up comfortably. And that's my point when I talk about in the past, we've sat back and let people not only stick around, but come back on us, right? Where all of a sudden you're playing this kind of soft zone, keep it all in front of you. Well, easy releases for the wide receivers, easy read for the quarterback. And now suddenly they're cooking and they're moving up and down the field and they're scoring points. Whereas with Halfley, he got to a point where he knew he could call that stuff. I don't think that's something he's ever going to come out and like, this is what we're doing on the front foot from snap one.
Right. Right.
Right after, you know, at the start of the game. I think it's very situationally driven. So,
which
I mean,
it
kind of
has to be, right?
Might,
you're not going to, you know.
If you're being smart, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm starting on Sunday how the rest of the week, the year plays out, but that's my suspicion.
I mean, the good news, here's the good news on that. Sorry, I know you're trying to do a brilliant transition right now, and you're probably succeeding at it, and I just ruined it.
Hard.
The best part about what we saw last week with the pressure was we were seeing pressure, as we talked about last week. We were seeing pressure, but we weren't seeing ourselves getting home. And the one thing that's really, really exciting about this team right now is if we get up, that he can turn that pressure dial. And I don't think we've seen that in other ways where we got up, and to your point, we didn't apply the pressure, which is when we could. You know?
Yep. Yep. Especially, again, against a young quarterback. And I know Levis has got tools. He's certainly got the arm. But, man, he was swimming on Sunday. He had no idea where the pressure was coming from, where to go with the ball. There were no answers for him in the offense, and that's partly on the coaches. But, man, yeah, that he just had no answers for what the Packers were dialing up. And you love to see that. That's what you want against a young quarterback who's struggling. Do not give him an out. Don't throw him a life preserver. Put your foot on his throat. Throw him an anchor and make him sink. That's what they did. and I love it. And one of the guys who contributed to that was Devontae Wyatt, who, man, love how this kid is playing right now. I mean, you know, obviously a former first-round pick, lots of grumbling because he didn't set the world on fire his first couple years in Green Bay. Very different defensive scheme, being asked to do different types of things, certainly seems to have unlocked something here. And I'm not going to say he's going on to become an all-pro or anything like that, but, man, he is certainly taking advantage of guys across from him and really utilizing some of this explosive, athletic, you know, the traits that caused him to be drafted in the first round in the first place are suddenly really apparent. Like, the way they utilize him on some of these stunts, and it's not just him beating guys along the interior, the way he's looping around and beating guys on the edge for a big-ass defensive tackle to be looping around and beating your left tackle, who's supposed to be the best pass protector on your team, he's done that a couple of times now, and it is truly impressive. And it's just great to see a kid like really start to hit his stride. And again, it's that word we talked about before, Corey. It's about patience. I know everybody wants instant results. Each and every player that gets drafted, you want them to come in and light the world on fire. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Devontae Wyatt didn't, but he is starting to do so. And that's exciting, at least to me.
I mean, I think Brian is figuring out the what he needs to do to get free agents. When you look at Malik Willis right now, that's what I was just thinking about. And the Devontae Wyatt tip, mm-hmm. I think he's on his third year, right? This is his third year or his fourth year?
Third year.
Which, you know, we always talk about that third year thing. The light bulb comes on a little bit. I think it's probably a mix of that and the 4-3 mix up and just, you know, growing together with this team. But, you know, maybe Brian is on something with how he found Malik Willis and like finding that guy who it's not just about, like, it's where they are. It's that patience. It's like somebody was impatient with them, and maybe there's that seasoning time with players where they're, a light bulb could come on if you give them the right resources. I don't know. I'm spitballing, thinking about Malik Willis. Like, what's the difference? You know what I mean? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, look at, like, dude, I sat here and I freaking watched 40 minutes of his play in the preseason, and nothing in that video that I watched, and I don't know shit, obviously, but nothing that I watched led me to believe that he could do what he's put on the field, what he's put on the field
the last 2 weeks.
The last
right?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I agree. And that's what those guys in the building behind you get paid to do, right? Is to make that projection. And that's what we always talk about. That is the key that gets lost so much when we're talking about whether it is free agency, whether it is trades, or whether it is the draft, like the projection into your system with your surroundings, with your coaching staff, that's where the rubber meets the road as a personnel guy. Whether it is draft, whether it is pro personnel, those are the tricky kind of really tough projections that those guys get paid to make. And that's where most of the stuff on the outside in the media, whatever, you know, yes, there are some really talented people working in the media kind of landscape, obviously, but for the most part, they're not doing that work. You're not trying or being able to kind of fit, okay, how does his skill set fit into and complement and work with everything we've got going on in this building? Yeah. That's what those guys are legit paid to do. And they seem to have done a pretty damn good job with the Malik Willis fit, no doubt.
Which, and to be fair, like, it's one of my problems with the national media. It's like, how can any – look, I know people – we know – you and I know people that are on the Packers beat that are savants and that they focus on the Packers only. There are very few people, and I don't even think there's anybody in this world that can focus on more than, like, three teams from a legitimate specific standpoint. So, like – right. There's 53 players, right? So, like, you can't – it's said that you only have, like, 100 – you can only have, like, 150 friends in your, like, Rolodex of your brain at any one moment, right? Like just right. – so, like, it just is kind of funny. Like, people that cover the NFL, you know, they actually don't know shit. It's so funny how little they know about any one team.
And of course, you can't.
It's impossible.
Yeah. And you lean on people who do cover the teams. And that happens to me all the time to this day. I know people who cover the league, you know, NFL-wide, and they always, when the Packers are playing in prime time, you know, I get the email or the text or whatever, like, what can you tell me about XYZ? Because they know, you know, that's part of the gig is gathering information to try and make an informed kind of comment or analysis or whatever. And then lastly, on the defensive side of the ball, I do want to highlight Jaire Alexander, Ja Money, who we featured in the hotness, because after the Eagles game, we said the Packers needed better from Jair Alexander. Well, they've gotten better from Jair Alexander. And I'm not here telling you that he suddenly flipped a switch or anything like that, but a very consistent play down in and down out. And I love what we've seen from the Packers digital team as far as Jair kind of somewhat behind the scenes, though it's not really behind the scenes because you're seeing it as a member of the public. But the stuff he's done breaking down their kind of huddles at the end of games and speaking on keeping it together and leaning into each other and the togetherness of the squad and really speaking as a leader, that's the Jair Alexander that they need. Marrying both the outstanding play that we saw on the field with the leader off the field. That's what they want. That's why they paid him. That's what they expected to get. And it sure feels like that's the guy who's showing up each and every Sunday for the Packers right now. And I love it.
I can't argue.
Real quick, let's highlight this Vikings-Packers matchup. The Packers are favored by 2.5, which I got to admit, I'm a bit surprised at. I didn't think that I thought for sure this would be like a push or even the Vikings by 1 or 2, but it's favored for the Packers by 2.5. Maybe that gets even up to 3 once we know for sure that Jordan Love is going to play. We'll see. We'll see. And speaking of quarterbacks, Sam Darnold will play despite a bruised knee. I think most people, if you watched the Vikings game against the Texans, saw he did get injured in that game, but he escaped serious injury. Kevin O'Connell saying, shouldn't be any worry, he will play, which I got to admit, I'm very happy about. I don't want any excuses when we curb stomp the Vikings. Oh, we had our backup in there. Okay, well, you know, we had our backup in there the last 2 weeks. Didn't hurt us. So they're going to have their starting quarterback, which is good. And now this is a stat that I found absolutely fascinating. In the 180 minutes, essentially, of NFL football that have been played by each team through 3 weeks, the Vikings have trailed for 3 minutes and 26 seconds all season long.
Mm.
So that tells you a little something. Remember when I was talking about how the fans are front runners? Well, feels like the team might be a little bit of a front runner as well. It's real easy to get it going and, you know, march up and down the field when you're being able to keep the playbook open because you're
in
the
lead. I really hope we don't defer. If we don't defer, that'll be good. Also,
the ball and score.
The thing is, every game so far, Matt's had a couple in his pocket, especially the last two, where he's had something early that you can kind of feel he's like, hey, this team can't do this, so I'm going to do this, and then it works really well.
Yep.
So you got to imagine we're going to try to get the ball first, hopefully, and then have one or two plays, touchdown, and that's the end of the game. And then you know what's great about those kind of games is then we can say how terrible we are because we can't stop anything because we're winning the entire game. And that'll be fun.
Right. That'll we can call great. Out you know, all the ineptitude of the team we're watching that is winning by 3 touchdowns. It'll be great. It's very exciting. If you want to see more, get more, do more as far as previewing the Vikings game, make sure you subscribe to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. And if you become a diehard member, you will get a exclusive video with myself and Andy Herman from Packaday Podcast. We'll be previewing the Vikings-Packers matchup. That will go out Thursday morning. Hell, just sign up for the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. You can go in the description of this video. There's a link to do so. Join up. Have fun. Get it all in your inbox each and every week, 2 times a week during the season. It's a lot of fun. Okay, you ready for this, Corey? You ready for some blogosphere nonsense? Let's do it.
This week is the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Because we're early this week, going on a Tuesday rather than the Wednesday, I didn't really find a ton to highlight from the Blogosphere writ large. But I did want to highlight some work that Tyler did off of Daily yesterday because I made this analogy about Jeff Hafley, and I made a movie reference that he promptly put together for a short, and I absolutely love it. Great work. Let's take a look. So nice after the last 3 years to see a defensive coordinator embrace his inner Hans Gruber. You remember in Die Hard when the police come with the RV and they hit it with a missile and it's blown up and It's sitting there on fire. And then you hear Hans say,
"Hit it again."
And Bruce Willis gets all upset.
"You motherfucker, you made your point. Let him pull back."
And he says, "I'll take it under advisement, cowboy.
Hit it again."
Well, that was Halfley. Will Levis was sitting there in an RV. It was on fire. And Halfley was up there in the booth going,
"Hit it again."
And they did, repeatedly. And it was fucking awful.
That's just so good. Well done, Tyler. Really good stuff. I did really feel like that on Sunday. Like Halfley was just back there like launching missiles at the really overwhelmed quarterback. Good stuff, Tyler. Next up, secondly, and more, way more importantly, there's some interesting developments going on there down the street, Corey. I think you tweeted about this yesterday.
I got to pick it up. I got this in my mailbox. Yeah, there's a new development that they're trying to get, a planned unit development on Lombardi and Ridge Road. Kind of crazy. Want everybody to know about it. There's actually, for those of you in Wisconsin and Green Bay and care about what's going on across the street from Lambeau and this whole area, there's going to be a meeting at Highland Crest Baptist Church on South Military Avenue next Thursday, so a week from tomorrow, 6 p.m. October 3rd. They're going to be meeting about it, but basically, and they can, the guys can put the map up. You can see what they're proposing. But basically, on the bottom, you see that's Lombardi. So across the bottom, yellow is Lombardi Avenue, and then Ridge Road. So there's some commercial development. A multifamily dwelling looks like on the corner of Ridge and Thorndale there. And then over there on the right is a 53-foot story building right there. That's actually the beginning of our neighborhood. So that's Frank and Shadow Lane, not far from where I am right now. That's a 53-foot multifamily story unit development going up. So just want to let people know, I think Fox 11 is going to do a story about it tonight, so it'll hit. Just got this in the mail yesterday, and I've been talking to people in our neighborhood association and all across. I put it on Twitter, got a bunch of responses back just to see what people's thoughts are. You know, it's kind of interesting, this area. There are a lot of opinions about it, but I just think it's important for anybody who's a fan of the Packers to know what's going on in Green Bay and to know, you know, my own opinions are what, you know, I have many opinions. My understanding on this process is this is the developer's process, and then they're trying to get a planned unit development, which is a way that the city of Green Bay uses to basically rezone and redo things. That corner has a lot of history for a long time now.
I was just going to ask. It does, right?
Yeah, for a long time now, it has been a parking lot during game day. There hasn't been anything there. But my understanding was Venisi owned it when there was commercial. And then the owner of Margaritas, Tim Keene, he now owns the property. He bought it from him, and I believe he owns duplex on Frank and Shadow. And there's some kind of trading going on because there was a guy who wouldn't basically hold. He held out the whole time. I believe his last name is Coppins, and he held out his property. And so they're kind of working this together to make this mixed unit development. And we'll see. You know, I have a lot of opinions about it. My personal opinion is there should be development there clearly on that corner. You know, my thinking about the neighborhood here is that, you know, this neighborhood wasn't really here when Lambeau was built. There were only one or two houses when you look at some you know, right behind Lambeau, right behind me, there was a farm for a long time because they actually bought a farmer's house, and the parking lot had a dairy farm on the parking lot. And, you know, there wasn't, this was the south end of the west side. And then, you know, neighborhoods built up. And, you know, me personally, I feel like so many times you hear, you know, players and people in the national media and national attention, you hear people when they drive here, they go, "Oh, you know, it's so great. You're in a neighborhood, and then there's this stadium." And then, you know, the Packers just spent $250 million plus on Titletown, which is in a Schwabenon. So a lot of, when you look at that map, this is actually one of the first times. So besides 1265 behind me, pretty much everything behind me and surrounding is a Schwabenon, except for 1265 Lombardi, except for Lambeau Field is in Green Bay. And where I'm sitting right now is in Green Bay. But a Schwabenon got Titletown. So Green Bay, you know, they really want those tax dollars. You know, something has to happen there. But I do think most people that come here feel like this neighborhood, you know, this kind of 1950s, 60s built, right. you know, typically ranch building, single ranch family style and duplexes. Homes
surrounding the stadium. Yep.
That needs to be preserved somehow. So, you know, I do have some, I do think that we need to protect this neighborhood. And I think a lot of people agree with me that live here. And I think, you know, if I were to take anybody that's watching this stream right now around Lambeau and I pointed out all of the things, I think in general, people would agree that that's part of what makes this area so special is the fact that, you know, all of the things that have come up around the stadium, but really the fact that this neighborhood has come up to it and created a market for parking. And, you know, it's just, it's really special in the NFL. And honestly, it's special besides the Wrigley Field. It's as special as Wrigley Field. There's just nothing really like it in the U.S.
Oh, anywhere. And, anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And very so, true. You know, I do think that that needs to be taken. And, you know, honestly, my personal feeling is that I wish that the Packers actually bought the land that is across from Ridge. So there's a funeral home.
Right.
They bought some of that land, and the one, every, you know, some of the thinking is that they will develop that land at some point with, and that is in Green Bay. But you know, the Packers have done such a good job with Titletown. My biggest complaint so far of what I've seen is it feels like development from like 20 or 30 years ago, as opposed to like innovative new development like we see at Titletown. And so I would hate for like the way it looks to not be to the standards, if
the
you will.
The standards like that you've created. No, absolutely.
Because the Packers look, have created at Titletown, yeah.
How many times have we had people who drive in from wherever, but particularly if you're coming off 41 on the Lombardi and you make that drive up, right, and there's Lambeau, and you do now get the entire experience of driving past Titletown as you're looking at Lambeau, and then to have the neighborhood over to your left, but then to have something that would be essentially look completely out of place, that, yeah, that's disconcerting. I very
well,
much
and then
agree.
the other issue, I think, with my neighborhood, and full disclosure, I am the interim president of the Lombardi Neighborhood Association, so I do need to say that because
are.
I do have a,
of course,
do have
are.
A, I do have a little bit of a bias there on this issue, but I do think that, you know, I think it's hard when you've had a house, and I know people who've had families, their families on their house through generations on Thorndale now since the 50s. Mm-hmm. And Thorndale, just so you know, is the house, is the street next to Shadow Lane. So it's the second block in from Lambeau. And a lot of that Frank development, 53 feet, is going to block a lot of people's views of Lambeau that they've had for generations. And now I do think progress is progress, but I think there's a way that everyone can kind of like, everyone can benefit, including, by the way, Packer fans that come to Green Bay and you know, want to have a great experience. And I think that this is why I wanted to bring this up on the show, to be honest with you, because this is a local issue and ultimately will be solved by local people. But I do think that corner is really important. It's one of the first things that people see when they visit Lambeau Field. They tend to go on Lombardi Avenue. And so it's a world-class corner that deserves a world-class approach. And so, you know, anybody that's interested and can next Thursday, and I will say the details right now, it is at Highland Crest Baptist Church, 1830 South Military Avenue, Green Bay, Wisconsin, 6 p.m. Thursday, October 3rd. And it is open to the public, and I will be there. And as will a bunch of other people that have been trying to get there. So if you are interested in the future of Green Bay, please come to the meeting, and we'll keep you updated on the progress as it goes.
Speaking of Corey Banky out and about in the Green Bay area, you're going to be somewhere tomorrow, I believe. Am I incorrect?
Yeah,
in this? So you're going to be at Lombardi High School or Middle School?
Yeah, I'm going to be unveiling of a new Lombardi statue at Lombardi Middle School. Which
cool.
I'm really excited about. And then
Fleming is going to be there. That's going to be cool as hell.
And then, just to show you how much of a neighborhood of a Green Bay nerd I am, then I will be at the public hearing for the Mason Street Bridge. So, yeah, tomorrow's a very civic day here in Green
Bay.
Civic-minded. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's going to be great. I get to see some of my friends at 1265, so I'm really looking forward to that tomorrow. And,
that's,
you know, hey.
It's always a good day.
It's really cool. The Packers have this new program. Well, it's not new, but they have a legacy program where they basically put Packers art and sculptures into schools to show the history and how Green Bay has this history. It's a really cool program, and I'm really excited to see what they did at Lombardi Middle School tomorrow.
It's going to be dope. It's going to be great. Let's see what folks are saying on the old YouTube chat, shall we? People chiming in on Cheesehead TV's YouTube page.
Porkmaster, did you guys know that we only played Minnesota once last year? All of Vikings Twitter talking about how this Flores defense wasn't torched on New Year's Eve. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that it's hilarious. I saw a couple of fan pages doing, like, highlighting, oh, well, they were the way they had Jordan Love in hell in Lambeau last year. It's like, yeah, and then New Year's happened. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. And but then all like, I did,
oh, yeah, we were really injured by then. Oh yeah, because the Packers were a picture of health.
Yeah, exactly. Every team is injured.
You mean you're
that.
An NFL team that was hurt on New Year's Eve? I'm shocked.
Ed, all I did was ask a Bears fan why they didn't draft Jaden Daniels. Boy, they are an overly sensitive bunch. Yeah, I mean, I've called
all year
out,
long.
I've tried to talk shit to Big Cat, and he's just been like, "You're gross." He just gets mad. Mike Witt, Malik Willis, best backup QB since Anthony Dilwig? Question mark. That's a good question.
Production wise, it's not. He's the best backup QB ever in Green Bay. If you're talking simple numbers, there's no argument. I mean, other than maybe you want to go back to Bart Starr when he was a backup before he took the reins. But that's the only other guy in the conversation.
Peter Lohr, will we see specific packages for Willis when Love comes back? I hope so.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I keep but seeing I hope so. This question.
I really hope
so. I really doubt they take the ball out of Jordan Love's hands
that
way.
It'd be so much fun.
And that's why then maybe they do it. We'll see. I mean, kind of like how we always heard about Keyshawn Nixon was going to get involved on offense and then he got one play. Like,
but I do feel like if there's any coach, it's Mike Dan. It's Mike
LaFleur.
Yeah, or LaFleur. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Miami. Yeah,
it's possible, but I doubt it. We'll see.
I just love – he's one of these coaches. He's not afraid to do things if he feels like – he's not afraid to be an outlier, which is what I really love about him.
Yes.
He's not afraid.
Well, look, just from a couple years ago when he started doing the rotation along the offensive line, now that's expanded to other areas of the – operation, and it's like that was the offensive line part was so unique and so different. I remember talking to people on the beat being like, have you ever seen anything like this before? No, never. They were switching guys literally from game to game up front when all we've heard all our life is like the continuity along the offensive line is so important. You've got to play all five together all the time, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes in. Nope, we're going to have a competition at left guard or right guard or wherever, you know, and it's worked. So to your point, Corey, yeah, he's not afraid to maybe buck convention a little bit. Yep.
Porkmaster, let's make sure Lambeau Field is extra watered. We've gotten some gotten some good rain here. Actually, we've gotten some good rain here, so we're pretty good right now.
Very good.
We got stuff. Mike Witt, can't wait till Sunday when Norv Dog is going to kick a 52-yard field goal to win it. Okay, we're not calling him that, Mike.
Norv Dog.
We're not. No, it's not. We're not. Okay,
Narvinator.
So everybody.
It's not the Narvinator.
No. Okay. It's Narv Puppy. That's the only thing I will agree to. Okay.
Narv Puppy.
We're not doing Narv Dog, and we're not doing Narvinator. And every time Narv I Puppy. Fucking hear that, I'm Narv Puppy right now. Okay.
Okay.
Joe Mailman.
What does he? Wait. What does he have to do to graduate from Narv Puppy to Narv Dog?
How about not miss for at least 3 games?
Okay, I'm down with that.
Right.
3 games in a row, no misses. Yep.
That doesn't mean he gets Narv Dog status. That just is like the bar at which you get in the conversation.
We can begin the conversation. All right. I got it.
We can talk about potentially talking about Narv
Dog. Once we go 3 games without a miss, we will.
But I just don't see that happening. Because guess what? It's going to get colder.
Well, what if in that 3rd game he hits a 51-yard, 52-yard field goal to win it?
For the win? That's great. But he's got to get – then he needs 5 of those. So 5 of those – 3 games with no misses. No, there's a menu. There's a menu. It's not just one thing. I'm 360 degrees, baby. You know this. Joe Mailman, thanks for the super chat. Packers have exactly same number of penalties that they had through 3 games last year. They improved as the season went on last year. Try to R-E-L-A-X. Okay, Joe Mailman. I feel what you're putting down. I feel what
you're putting down. This is true. However, they weren't getting behind the sticks because of them last year. Not most, but a good chunk of those were on defense. But you are correct. It is early, and they will play their way into good technique. That is my thinking.
Ken Hansen, Josh Myers, just recall what I said this spring.
I can't remember what you said, Ken, but we talked about it on Carry the G Radio today. He's played really well these last two games.
He has.
Really well his last two games.
Ken Hansen, thanks for the chat. Bears are like pregnant women. This time won't hurt.
Oh, damn. Damn. Ken with Ryan the analogy.
I am always afraid of the pregnant women analogies. I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of feel like that's a third
for good
rail.
Reason.
Yep. Ryan Willie, thanks for Super Chat. For a disabled person that wants to get to a Packer game this year and willing to buy tickets to be in Lambeau, which game would you attend? Lions or 49ers? Chicago teams suck. I mean,
this is true.
You can't go wrong with the Lions or the 49ers. I'd probably try to do the Niners game instead of the Lions game just because that could be a pretty big one for the season.
The Lions game will be a gold package game, so it, maybe it'll,
so
be,
it'll be
easier
easy
to get
tickets.
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Billy Schmidt, but
gold
the 49ers
sucks,
weekend is going to be a lot of fun.
Get rid of gold package. Put it on a sign. I'll put it on my lawn. Get rid of gold package. I can't wait till that happens. I can't wait till the day. I cannot wait until the day that gold package is removed from. Okay, here's what I'd say.
Oh boy,
keep gold package forever. But the Brewers aren't allowed to have a champagne thing until they actually do something that's worth a damn. Like, they actually, like, have to win the World Series before they can do canned champagne. And then we keep gold package the entire time. How about that?
There's a lot
the
of things that
actually
have to be involved to make that
like
happen.
They have been there before instead of acting like they've never been there before. And then they get to keep gold package.
And they get to keep gold package. There's some conversations between the city of Green Bay and Milwaukee. I think we can work this out. I'm down.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like it.
Moving on.
I feel like we like each other enough. Mike Witt, will Benke call him Norv Dog on Sunday? No, we've already dealt with this now. No, he's Norv Puppy.
Nope.
Norv Puppy. Most
Puppy.
Hated Minnesotan.
Norv
Paul
Puppy,
Allen. Whatever. He's whatever. He's whatever I want it to be in that moment. Yeah. He has earned zero things. So he's basically nothing. Most hated Minnesotan. Paul Allen is a window licker. I agree with you. You know what? That was the thing that Peter Bukowski annoyed me about this week. I was reading his tweets. Don't ask me why I was doing
God.
This.
Oh, God. Here can we go.
I really also
we were so close.
Out,
we're an hour into
shout
the show.
Shout out Johnny Blood. Look at this Johnny Blood
we
hat.
We didn't have
Spencer
any Bukowski
Young.
References.
So
we got
genius.
4 minutes to go.
Hat.
And you
this hat is awesome. Peter is awesome. Bukowski tweet. Okay, if you're a Packer blogger, don't tweet that Paul Allen is good. That's all I have to say about that. Okay? Don't ever do that. You're an idiot. Well, we know this, but you're a moron if you tweet that Paul Allen is good and you are a Packers blogger, okay? I'm sorry. I'm going to gatekeep that. If I'm a gatekeeper on Paul Allen, so be it. He's not good. He's never been good. He's an annoying piece of shit who's biased as fuck, and I can't stand him. And I'm talking about Paul Allen and Peter Bukowski in the same moment. I killed two birds with one stone. Do you see what I did there? Yeah, fuck them both. All right, next up, Dustin Shewitt. Would MLF ever – oh, also, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I got one more bone to pick, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Only one?
Ty Schmidt. They're giving Ty Schmidt and Pat on Pat McAfee. They're giving him – he is supposed to be the Green Bay Packers fan, okay? And they are giving him kudos. He is.
Right.
But here's the thing. They're giving him kudos – he did this really great piece actually. I like his Mel Kiper thing. His Mel Kiper imitation is Mel Kiper impression is really gold actually. But they're giving him props because he basically was like, "I'm never gonna talk shit about Matt LaFleur again, bro. Where have you been? Where have you been? Why are you talking shit about Matt LaFleur, bro? What you're the Packers fan? The fuck, man." I don't understand this. Anyway, Dustin Shewitt, would Matt LaFleur ever run a play with Love and Willis both on the field? It's a touchdown on paper every time. I mean, there you go.
Anything is possible.
Dude, everything that's actually kind of – how genius would that be, right? Orbit route with Willis, and then you hand off to Willis, but it's actually a flea flicker back to Jordan Love.
To Jordan Love,
and then Jordan
throws
Love throws
it down the field.
To Watson,
yes.
Who's wide open.
I like the vision. Like
and it's so confusing because they're like, is it Malik Willis throwing or Jordan
Willis
Love
is
throwing?
Throw the ball. You
or that play to Reed. Malik Willis could play that play to Reed where you have the orbit motion and you hand off and then Malik Willis runs it. I mean, hey, let's do it.
Why not?
Amy Gooding, my friend lives in Ridge Road, and this would block his and everyone else's view of Lambo. Can one of you message me meeting details? Amy, yeah, no problem. I can send you on Instagram, Amy, because I think we follow each other on Instagram. So I will DM you right after this the details. But I did also read them out for those of you that need to know. So next Thursday, this is the meeting for the planned unit development, Lambeau Field and our Lombardi and Ridge Road. Thursday, October 3rd, 6 p.m., Highland Crest Baptist Church, 1830 South Military Avenue, Green Bay, Wisconsin. But I will DM you, Amy, those details. Dustin Schuett, would you rather be stuck on a 14-hour flight next to Paul Allen or a crate of pythons, and why did you pick the pythons? I'm picking the pythons for sure. For sure. Because here's the thing. Me and Paul Allen on a flight together, Paul Allen ain't coming out of that flight. They're going to have to get the marshals. So
when Billy and I were at Radio Row at the Combine this past spring, we were set up on a table right next to Paul Allen and the Vikings radio people.
I'm sorry.
And he was absolutely lovely and really professional.
I'm sure he was.
And we had no issues. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, well, you're not me. So I would literally be like, because I don't care. I don't give a fuck. So I would be like, hey, Paul Allen, remember when you called that it was a field goal and they made it, but then they missed it? You know, I would be like the Chris Farley character, that Chris Farley right. sketch
but where they have like the celebrity. You're like pointing out all his yeah. missteps.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm like, remember when you did that and you were an idiot? That was funny. Remember when you
Brett
did
Favre
that
threw
and
an
all
interception and you said it was not Detroit, it was the Super Bowl? That was awesome.
Remember when you yelled at a coach because you thought you were on the same level as a coach because you're a moron? Remember that really got me the most when he just was like yelling at coaches like that. You talk about unprofessional. That was so
weird.
Unprofessional and bad.
That bit was
and
weird.
Also like the problem is yeah, he there's so many
now,
problems.
Now it was a coach anyway. Who had been with the Vikings. They had a previous, you know, professional relationship. Yeah. So it's not like he did it out of nowhere, but I hear what you're saying. It
was
weird.
It was bad.
The whole thing.
I didn't
weird.
Like it. Yeah. Wasn't there another thing where? Oh yeah. No, the best was like the Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs. That was the great.
So great.
That was so great. All-timer. Remember when All-timer. You Remember when you announced that the Cardinals knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs and made every Vikings fan sad? That was funny.
That was awesome.
That was great. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite memories of all
Your
time.
Your best call ever, man. Best call.
That was the greatest Keep call you ever had. Andrew Ware, the Bears, only winning the offseason since 85. Yeah, that's true.
Correct. It's their greatest accomplishment.
You got that right.
Each and every year.
It's not even hot outside. It's really hot up here. Ryan Willey, after what Favre revealed, Tua should retire.
Ryan, I understand where you're coming from. For those of you who are unaware, maybe you aren't online today and haven't seen the news, Brett Favre was in Washington today, essentially for everything that's going on with the welfare money in Mississippi that he contends he did not know was from welfare, etc. He revealed that he has been recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, which is obviously awful, and we hope, you know, Brett gets all the help he needs and lives a long life. But as far as Tua, nobody's brains are the same. Nobody's bodies are the same. Also, yeah. We're not privy to any medical information. It is a very incredibly personal decision for any guy in the NFL to decide to retire. Maybe Tua does. I know the initial reports say he's leaning towards continuing to play. That is his decision. And just because something happened to Brett Favre doesn't mean anything else is going to happen to Tua. That is, it's his call, not ours.
Yeah, and it you know, prayers out to the Favre family as well. Brett Favre, legend. You hate to see any NFL player or otherwise any player or any person come down with that kind of disease. It really freaking sucks.
It's pretty awful.
So
no doubt,
it sucks. Are in for the win. Thanks for the super chat. Book it. Narv dog kicking the game. No, Narv puppy winning, kicking the game winning field goal in the Super Bowl. Okay, maybe then.
Oh, by the time we get to the Super Bowl, he'll be Narv
by
dog.
Time,
no question.
If we get to the Super Bowl, I don't know. He still's got to do. That's not a criteria. The criteria are the menu. That's not in the menu. But, however, it's unlikely he doesn't meet the menu criteria.
He's got to meet the menu. It will greatly enhance their capabilities of getting to the Super Bowl. I get you.
JP, thanks for Super Chat. Banky would rather give Madison folks a package. I do love Madison, though, people. I do. I'm not a huge UW Madison fan. I know people are mad at that, but I love Madison. Oh my God, it has some of the it's one of the greatest cities in the world. I mean, seriously, it's so great. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Frank Blasi, thoughts on Clark early struggles, bad scheme fit? Thanks for Super Chat.
Man, that's a good question. It is kind of the topic du jour among all the film geeks at the moment. I'll say it has not been to his normal standard, and I do think there has to be something to the idea of what he's being asked to do in a new scheme being so different than what he's done throughout the entirety of his career up until this point. But there's no question that they need better from Kenny. That I think he'd probably be the first one to tell you that as well. There's no doubt that what he's put on tape through the first 3 weeks of the season is not up to his standard. Hopefully, he's facing Bradberry on Sunday, a guy who he has essentially owned his entire career. Hopefully, that gets him on the right path.
Uncultured Barbarian, Banky, and Snakes on a Plane, too. I'm getting sick and tired of this motherfucking Paul Allen on this motherfucking plane. I like it.
Uncultured, you are without question one of the best commentators here at Cheesehead TV. You are always bringing the goods, whether it's here on Transplants or on Daily. Shout out to you for being an OG here at Cheesehead TV. That's so good.
That's what we got.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
that is it. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Happy hour tomorrow night. Hope to see you all there. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV, not just on the YouTube channel, but the entirety of the brand. Cannot thank you enough for your support, as well as Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. Thank you so much for the support. Each and every watch party is so much fun because of you guys. And hey, Corey, speaking of watch party, I know you saw the tweet I put up yesterday. 6 years. We've been doing watch party for 6 years. Yesterday was officially 6 years to the day that we did our first watch party. It's been incredible to watch Packers fans kind of join in as we've kind of grown this thing, and it's a lot of fun. I'm really glad. And the way we hear from people all the time about their personal connections and how they used to watch with a family member, or they've always had a group to watch with and now they don't, but they feel like the Cheesehead TV community is part of their life as far as the Packers go, and it connects them in a way that maybe something was missing in that regard, because you know, we all grow up watching the Packers, and usually that's with our family or close friends. That's what we're here to do. We're here to connect Packers fans throughout the world. That is the whole point of the gig. So we thank each and every one of you who participate. It really, really is the best. You got anything else for the fine folks at home there, Corey, before we head out?
Nope. Let's do it.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.